It was a night where AEW Dynamite officially passed WCW Monday Nitro. In terms of total episodes, this was the 289th episode of AEW Dynamite, beating out Nitro's 288 episodes, where even Eric Bischoff tried to be magnanimous and issued a comment congratulating Tony Khan and his staff on their milestone. AEW puts on the best episode of Dynamite all year. They were in Boston. I love that venue that they were in tonight. They were in the MGM Music Hall at Fenway in Boston. And this crowd, all night long, they were hot for everything. They were loud. They were loud and they were hot, and it helped. But it wasn't the only reason that the show was so enjoyable, because we got some great in-ring action up and down the card. We had some a couple of great moments here on the show tonight. The great matches, though, were really what stood out on this show. And the big moment at the end of the show, the Death Riders, at least for one night only, the Death Riders have been dethroned. We have brand new AEW Trios champions, and they are Samoa Joe, Katsuyori Shibata, and not Hook, but Powerhouse Hobbs, replacing Hook, who unfortunately, and I didn't notice it when I was watching the show last week, but I did see the video that went around after Dynamite, poor Hook, laying in the ring at the end of the main event last week, puking his guts up in the ring, which is never a good sign. And I think there were some reports out that, you know, claiming he didn't have a concussion, but, you know, when you're laying in the ring and you start vomiting in the middle of a match, and then conspicuously this week you're not on the show, you put two and two together and you can kind of figure out that he's probably not in great shape. So hopefully nothing too serious, but yes, he was not on the show, and he was not the only member of that main event trios match that needed to be replaced, because unfortunately Pac did suffer a legitimate injury on Dynamite last week on that buckle bomb spot in the match with Swerve Strickland. We don't know the severity of the injury. We don't know if it's a foot injury. We don't know if it's an ankle injury. We'll have to wait and see. They're not usually forthcoming when it comes to that type of information. But he was replaced by the AEW World Champion in this main event, Jon Moxley, taking his place as one-third of the Trios champions. And so when I saw this, I said, well, surely Jon Moxley, if they do lose the titles, which I kind of expected they would, is not going to be the one to take the losing fall. That's what you have Wheeler Yuta in the match for. But boy, was I surprised when I saw that it was, in fact, Jon Moxley, the unbeatable Jon Moxley. There were a couple of people who were deemed unbeatable who were beaten on the show tonight. Jon Moxley is the one who goes nighty-night as Samoa Joe puts him to sleep and beats Jon Moxley to win the AEW Trios titles. And then it was a huge celebration in Boston. You had members of the locker room come out. I saw the Dork Order were, you know, they were out there. Of course, they got their asses kicked at the very beginning of all this by the Death Riders. Speedball, Mike Bailey, Kevin Knight, here they come. They're popping bottles and everyone's having a big celebration. And I realize in this moment, what does this remind me of? And it was actually very appropriate because of this big milestone they were celebrating tonight where they had surpassed Monday Nitro. It was the 100th episode of Nitro back in 1997, one of the more memorable moments from the Monday Night War. And let me just say, I am by no means comparing these two in terms of this being on the same level or this being, you know, in the same league or better than what we got back then. I'm just saying it was hard not to notice the similarities between what they did then and what they did on this show tonight, where you have the unbeatable heel faction taking a huge loss, a title loss, at the end of the show. And the champion, actually, is the one who gets beat. And then everybody is celebrating, and half the locker room pours out, and they're drinking champagne. A lot of similarities between Luger racking Hogan on that Nitro back in 97 and what Tony Khan was going for with the angle they did at the end of this show tonight. And in front of this audience on this night, it worked. And they were very happy to see Samoa Joe holding a championship again. Powerhouse Hobbs holding a championship again. It's been a while, right? Hobbs was TNT champion some time ago. Joe's been TNT champion, AEW world champion, but he hasn't held gold for quite some time. So it makes me wonder if they are setting up a singles match for Double or Nothing next month with Joe challenging Jon Moxley for the AEW world title. And of course, Samoa Joe is not going to win the AEW world championship, but between now and Texas, they certainly need people who, you know, can challenge for the championship unless Moxley's going to be a part of, you know, anarchy in the arena or something like that. It feels like that's what they set up on this show tonight, a possible main event for the title on the next pay-per-view. So that was the big moment at the end of the show. But at the beginning of the show, they opened the show with a first-time-ever match, big match, in the Owen Hart Foundation tournament between Mercedes Moné and Athena. Athena, the forever champion in Ring of Honor, and Mercedes, seemingly the forever champion here in AEW, as she is rapidly approaching 1 year as the TBS champion. I was holding out hope that maybe we would get some, like a draw. You know, first of three, let them draw. You run it back again, right? You do a whole series. And I am still hopeful that there will be a series between these two women. But when I look at the brackets in this tournament and how much time we have between now and Double or Nothing, it seemed unlikely, which meant that somebody had to win and somebody had to lose. And if somebody was going to lose, it was not going to be Mercedes Moné. And she did not lose. She is now going to the finals of the Owen. She will meet the winner of Chris Statlander against Jamie Hayter. And whoever it is, and I figure it's going to be Jamie Hayter, but whoever it is, we've seen matches before, great matches between Mercedes and Statlander. We know what those two can do. Mercedes and Hayter is a match we haven't seen yet. I'm looking forward to eventually seeing it. I think we're going to get it at Double or Nothing next month. I am still hopeful that the direction for Texas is not simply to do champion versus champion and have Mercedes challenging for the AEW Women's World title. I just don't think that's the right move to make. It might be, in their mind, it might be the biggest possible match we could do, champion versus champion, which is probably what we're getting with Kenny Omega and Okada, okay? Not even probably. We are getting that. Barring injury, we're already getting champion against champion, hopefully title for title on that show. I just don't think it's necessary. And I think you could set up two big women's matches, one for the world title, one for the TBS title on that show. And I hope that is the direction that they are going in. But with Mercedes going to the finals and her unblemished record so far in this company, anything is possible. But they went out there tonight and they had a great match. We had Will Ospreay and Konosuke Takeshita, two of the very best right now at this moment as I sit here. I always sing their praises. They certainly haven't done anything to make me think otherwise or let me down. They went out there tonight and tore the house down. They actually found a way to top the match they had at Revolution last year, which I didn't think was possible. Was there a lot of, kicking out of big moves, you know, one too many times and no selling moves? Yes, there was, but they made it work. They made it work, and they had an exciting match. They had a very fun 20 minutes that was never boring. Will Ospreay is going to the finals of the Owen Hart tournament. Most people probably expected him to, at the very least, go to the finals. I still say it's his to lose. So he punched his ticket to the finals after a fucking awesome match tonight with Konosuke Takeshita. And then we had Hangman Adam Page, who was scheduled to go one-on-one against the wild card. The wild card. Who would the wild card entry be? Would it be MJF? Would it be Jack Perry? Would it be Sala Monster? Who would the wild card entry be? And as it turns out, the wild card entry was this man right here, who is officially All Elite. The walking weapon, the former Impact World Heavyweight Champion, Josh Alexander, is officially All Elite. It's not official until you get the graphic. So there it is. It is indeed official. This is a move that was expected, because the talk has been that it was just a formality of when he would debut in AEW. And I think it's probably, you know, the best fit for him, honestly. I know some people probably wanted to see him in WWE, maybe get a reunion going with Ethan Page in NXT. That probably would have been the best option for him if he went to WWE as opposed to the main roster. But I felt the same way about him that I feel about Mike Bailey, where this is probably the best fit for him right now. He certainly felt that way. I think he was looking for the best possible deal. And Tony Khan is the one who gave him the best possible deal. So he made his debut tonight against Hangman in the Owen. It was not a successful debut, although it was a fine match. It was not a win for Josh Alexander, but they did something at the end of the match that I liked. It's not necessarily official that he's going to be going in this particular direction. We'll talk about what that is. And then they had a segment with the Hurt Syndicate, MJF. I mean, out of everything on the show, it was the weakest part of the entire show. But they are continuing to build intrigue on, you know, where that story is going. Bobby Lashley, still not fond of MJF, does not want him to be a part of the group, but he appears to be softening. He has his reservations about this man. He doesn't trust this man, and for good reason. Lashley is a man of logic, but he is being coerced into making a decision that I think he's going to regret. Where the storyline ultimately ends up, I don't know. I have my theory, but that was probably the weakest thing on the entire show. Everything else, I thought, it just hit. It hit in a way that Dynamite has not been hitting for a while now. And it's been a while since we've had a show like this, and it's just the energy and the vibe of the show, top to bottom, has been as effective as it was here tonight, where it just felt like, okay, they're firing on all cylinders. I wish they could all be like this. They can't be. They won't be. But for tonight, I thought it was an excellent show, and it was the best episode of Dynamite all year, and it just so happened to be the big milestone episode. Where they did pass WCW Nitro in terms of total episodes. This is your AEW Dynamite Spring Breakthrough. That's what they called it. Spring Breakthrough episode of Dynamite here for Wednesday, April 16th, 2025. I am the Sala Monster. They were in Boston at the MGM Music Hall at Fenway. Like I said, cool little venue here. I don't know what the capacity was. I mean, they had it packed in. It's not a huge venue. But I like the look of it. I just like the look of it, the aesthetics of it. Running these smaller venues, they've had the chance to run some that have a very unique look and kind of a vibe all unto itself, as opposed to just, you know, like a normal arena where they would try to fit 3,000 people at a building that fits, you know, 17,000. And that's just never a good thing to do. So there is something to be said when you run these smaller, more intimate venues, they do tend to make for more fun shows. I mean, that's how I felt when they ran Hammerstein. You know, now Hammerstein was not rocking the way the Boston was tonight, but I felt the same way about those shows too. There is something to be said for that. But they were in Boston, and so they opened the show with the hometown girl, the undefeated TBS champion, Mercedes Moné, making her way out to the ring for her semifinal match in the Owen Hart Foundation tournament against the Ring of Honor Forever champion, Athena. This is a big match. I thought they might close the show with it. Seeing what they did, I know why they didn't. But being in Boston and everything, first time ever match. When they came out, I said, okay, interesting. To me, it just made a title change at the end that much more obvious. But they did open the show with this here. So we had Athena coming out, and she got a strong reaction too. Not as strong as Mercedes did. But they both got strong reactions. She got CEO chants from the hometown faithful. So there were some holy shit chants and dueling chants. Again, it was a match that you could tell the people in this building were excited to see. This is a match that many of them came to see, which is a good sign, you know, that they saw it as a big match here. So they get started here, quick series of lockups. They end up tumbling out to the ramp. They had a short ramp to the ring, and they're not letting go of each other, so they're wrestling around. Mercedes got a reverse waist lock, spilled back into the ring. And so they're trading pin attempts and some rolling cradles. We come to a stalemate, and again, the people are going nuts for it. Mercedes lands a tilt-a-whirl into a statement maker, but Athena rolls to the ropes. She falls outside. Only Mercedes kept the submission applied. She did not let go. So now they're on the floor outside right in front of the announce desk, and she still has the submission hold locked on. Aubrey Edwards puts the count on, so they weren't out there for too long. After a commercial break, they come back to a slugfest. Mercedes initially wins it. Athena, though, kipped up into a thrust kick. She wanted a tombstone. And this right here was the shakiest part of the match here, because she wanted a tombstone, and they traded a series of tombstone reversals. One would fall backwards and try to lift the other one up. And it didn't look good. It did not look good. Because at first, I think it was Mercedes, she tried to do the reversal and lift up Athena, and she couldn't really get her, so they had to try again, and then she did it, but it still looked kind of awkward. But in the end, Mercedes hit a lung blower into the double down. The fans were loud for both women, so it didn't really take them out of the match. But there was some sloppiness there. They recovered well enough. They never lost the crowd. Mercedes hit a tornado DDT variation, followed by a tilt-a-whirl into another DDT, spiked Athena right on her head. She hit three amigos. She went for a fourth. Athena, though, spun out into a powerbomb, and then another, and then another. And she tried for a fourth. Mercedes just barely countered into a backstabber. So we got dueling chants again for both women. Athena fired off a corner uppercut, and Mercedes ducked another one, hit a wild meteora, and she sends Athena out to the apron. She follows her. She wants a German suplex off the apron, and she's trying to pull her backwards, and Athena is just holding on for dear life to the ropes. Mercedes switches positions. She's going to try for an apron bomb instead. So she's going to powerbomb her onto the floor. Instead, though, Athena stomps on her repeatedly. After this, Mercedes wanted a Monet maker on the apron. Athena got free, hit a kick, and then a snap power slam on the edge of the ring. So Athena sinks in a statement maker of her own. Mercedes escapes into one of her own. It's her own fucking move. Athena gets out of that. Mercedes rolls to the floor, and Athena goes out after her. She charges in, and Mercedes sidesteps her. Athena crashes headfirst into the barricade. Both women end up standing on top. They have the LED barricades out there. They got the Spring Breakthrough logo on it. So they're standing on top of the barricade. They start slapping each other until Athena missed a diving lariat. She rolled through, and then she followed up with a shotgun dropkick. That shotgun dropkick had sent Mercedes flying backwards into the barricade. And as soon as she hit the barricade, it shorted out. And we didn't have our LED display anymore. It went black. Back inside, Athena tried for her O-face finish off the top. Mercedes, though, held onto her on the way down and then countered into a cradle for the 1-2-3. And they zoomed in on Athena's face, and she was shocked. She had her O-face on. She was shocked and caught off guard by that. So was I, in a way. Again, I would have expected Mercedes to win if somebody had to win. As the match was going on, though, because it got some time, I was wondering, like, is there a time limit here? Is it a 30-minute time limit for the semifinal round? Like, I wasn't sure. If Justin Roberts announced it at the beginning, I missed it. So she pins her. She's shocked. When the match is over, we hear timeless Toni Storm's music. And then we look up, and on the next level up, she's in the crowd, and Luther is with her, and she's standing there, and she's applauding Mercedes, and Mercedes is looking up at her and giving her a wave. And she's got all of her titles. I really enjoyed this. I thought this was a really good match here from these two. It was not always the smoothest. There were some awkward moments for sure, especially on the tombstone reversals. But I still feel the same way I felt coming in. Hopefully this is the first in a series, whether it's two matches total, three matches total. I hope that this is the beginning of a series of matches that culminates in Texas at All In. Because to me, it just works better that way. And as a first outing, I thought that these two more than delivered. Like I said, the crowd treated it like a really big deal. I'm not the biggest fan of that finish, the way they did that, but that was their way of protecting Athena from having to take a more decisive loss here. It's the same exact thing they just did at Dynasty with Toni Storm and Megan Bain. They pushed Megan Bain so hard, so fast, and she ran through so many different people. And within, 2 months, 3 months, it felt like, here she is already challenging for the Women's World Championship. And it's like, well, they could put the belt on her and really just give her the monster push, but I really just don't see them taking that title off Toni Storm before Texas. So she's probably going to lose. And she did, but they did that finish. It was like a fucking roll-up. It was a fucking roll-up. And that was because they wanted to beat her, but not, like, beat her. They wanted to beat Megan Bain in a way that still protected her, where it wasn't like she got decisively beaten. Same exact thing they did here. They had to have somebody go on to the finals. It wasn't going to be Athena, who, like Mercedes, has been unbeatable for so long. It's like, well, then what do you do? Right? What are you going to do? Well, you do what they did, where she kind of caught her with the flash pin, and it's like, well, it was her night tonight, but it could have been anybody's night. It could have gone either way. And that was the finish that they chose to do. So Mercedes advances now to the finals, Double or Nothing, May 25th. She's going to meet the winner of the match coming up between Chris Statlander and Jamie Hayter, which should be Jamie Hayter. There is a lot of history between Mercedes and Statlander. There is. Statlander, though, has already lost twice to Mercedes. If they send both of them to the finals and this time Statlander gets her win back, that would be huge for Chris Statlander. But let me ask you a question. Whoever goes to the finals, whichever one it is, and they wrestle Mercedes, if they beat Mercedes, and I'm hoping they do, does it not then make more sense for that person to be challenging Mercedes for the TBS title in Texas, as opposed to going on to challenge Toni Storm for the Women's World Championship? There's a disconnect here. It's almost like Mercedes either has to win or the other person wins, but you have this thing that's sort of hanging there where her very first loss in this company comes at the hands of somebody who isn't even going on to challenge her for her championship, which is what has me a little worried that they may well send Mercedes to Texas to challenge Toni Storm, because they certainly teased it here at the end of this match. But I just think Athena and Mercedes, TBS title, Jamie Hayter, Toni Storm, AEW Women's World title, those should be your two big women's title matches at All In on your biggest show of the year. I just don't see the need to combine the two champions into one match. So call me naive. I'm still hopeful that they'll find a way to make that work. How they get there, you know, having Hayter just cleanly beat Mercedes, I mean, it's hard to fathom, but it almost has to happen that way. Like, what are you going to do? Are you going to have Athena run out and distract Mercedes? Interfere in the finals of the Owen? Why? Is she that much of a sore loser? It's not like Mercedes cheated to win here. It was a flash pin, but it was a fair victory. So that really wouldn't make sense. That would actually portray Athena as the heel going into any rematch between the two of them. So I'm not really expecting her to get involved. I think they're going to have the balls to have Statlander or Hayter just get a clean win over Mercedes. And you know what? They could do it the same exact way that they did here. Catches her out of nowhere. Flash pin. And then boom, we get to the destination that I just talked about where you have your two title matches. But as a first match between these two, I really enjoyed it. I thought this was a very strong way to open the show. So we go backstage after this. And Renee is standing by with Hangman Adam Page. And she asked the Hangman how prepared he is for this match here tonight against the Wild Card. And the Young Bucks and Kazuchika Okada, they very quickly interrupt the interview. And they bring up Hangman walking out on them at Blood and Guts last year. But they forgive him, they say. Matt Jackson says Hangman's issue with the Death Riders is something that they could fix. Death Riders are crazy, but they could take care of business so long as Hangman does his job in winning the Owen Hart tournament. So the Bucks walk off. Okada stays behind. And he asks Hangman, he goes, "Why are you always so angry?" He goes, "You got to smile more." And Hangman doesn't really know, really doesn't know what to say to this, doesn't really know how to react to this. So he just leaves the scene. And at that point, Okada calls him a bitch. Hangman hears this. He comes storming back in. Okada, all of a sudden, he's all smiles again. He goes, no, just smile more, smile more. And that's how that segment ends. So, yes, Shikamaru, okay, you make a good point, which I did not mention, because I said she basically beat her clean. So it did look like she had the tights, yes. But do I see Athena coming out to interfere in the finals because of that? I still don't see that. But, yes, you are correct. You can make that argument. I don't know. I just don't see her coming out and interjecting herself in that match. Look, if that's the way that they get to Athena and Mercedes, then fine, so be it. Do what you got to do, because I still want to see them run this match back again for the TBS title. But who knows? Maybe they have all titles on the line. Winner take all, right? Ring of Honor Women's World Championship, TBS Championship. I've made it very clear before, I don't care to see the Ring of Honor titles defended on AEW television. to me, it doesn't matter. You know, if they do this match again and they do winner take all, whatever. The thing that matters is the TBS title. It's not the Ring of Honor championship, even though she's held it for a gazillion years. It's the TBS title. Who is going to dethrone Mercedes to win that TBS title? That's really what matters here. So, however they get to it, as long as they get there, I don't really care. Now, they showed Tuukka Rask, hope I pronounced that right, who used to play with the Boston Bruins. He was on stage posing with the NHL Stanley Cup. They had the Stanley Cup in the building tonight. I saw on Twitter earlier, they had some of the wrestlers taking pictures with it before the show. So not only are we having tournaments here for the Owen Hart Cup, but we had the Stanley Cup in the building. After that, it was out to the ring. For the final opening round match in the men's Owen Hart tournament, it was Hangman Adam Page, and he was taking on a wild card entrant that we did not know. We don't know who his opponent is going to be. And he's pacing back and forth in the ring, and he's waiting to find out. We're waiting to find out who is it going to be. And that wild card ends up being the walking weapon. Former Impact World Champion Josh Alexander makes his AEW debut, and he came out, and he got a big reaction. Page started throwing some bombs, and Josh ran right through him with a big boot. Page answers with a fallaway slam. He missed a sliding lariat, connected with the rolling elbow, sends Alexander to the floor. He hangs Alexander up on the barricade on the floor, and he went to the ramp. So you got to visualize this, right? He's got him straddling the barricade down below. Hangman gets up on the ramp, and he backs up a little bit, and he's measuring this guy. And he comes charging in. He leaps off the ramp, and he takes him off the barricade, takes his head off with a huge lariat, taking him down to the ground. That took us into the commercial break. Alexander, though, was in the driver's seat when they came back. They went to the apron, and Alexander tried a pile driver. Hangman, though, hit a big backdrop on the edge of the ring. Hangman connects on his Orihara moonsault to the floor, quickly heads back inside, and he delivers a Liger bomb for a near fall. Alexander sidesteps a charge. He lands a spinning reverse fireman's carry neck breaker for two. So he applies the ankle lock, and he's got it cinched in. Page, though, escapes, and he connects on a tombstone for a close two count. Hangman wanted the buckshot. Alexander, though, rolled to the opposite apron. Shortly after that, Alexander wanted a powerbomb. Hangman escaped, and he cradled Alexander for the flash pin. And it was at this point that I sat here and I said, okay, they're going a little fucking crazy with these flash pins. How many of these have we had in just the last few months in this cup? We had two of them on the show tonight. They did the same thing with Tony and Megan Bain at Dynasty. They did the same thing with Tony and Mariah May at Grand Slam. How many of these fucking flash pins and these roll-ups are we going to get? Now it's getting a little ridiculous. It's like they're trying to protect everybody. When you protect everybody, you protect nobody. So after the match, Kyle Fletcher and Don Callis, they walk out as Hangman is not waiting. He charges. He meets him on the ramp. We get a slugfest between the two. They spill into the ring. Hangman cuts off a charging Fletcher with a lariat. He wants a buckshot. Fletcher bails. And we see Don Callis, he very frantically whispers something in Josh Alexander's ear. And Alexander blindsides Page from behind. He plants him with a powerbomb. And Fletcher returns. Callis is applauding what just happened. And Fletcher returns. He spikes Page with a brainbuster. And we are reminded by the announcers that last week, Don Callis had announced an open enrollment period for the Don Callis family. And so what did we just see? Did we just see the newest member of the Callis family show his face here tonight? So Alexander was one of the names that some people were talking about as a possibility for this spot. There were a lot of names that were thrown around. MJF, Jack Perry, Darby Allin. I threw Darby Allin out there. I mean, I saw pictures of him today on the mountain. So he is, in fact, in the middle of his climb for Mount Everest. But I was like, who knows? Maybe they're working us all, right? When he's going to pop up and he'll win the entire thing and go on to Texas. But it ends up being Alexander. There was talk about Alexander maybe answering the Max Caster Open Challenge on the Zero Hour for Dynasty. you know, which would have been pretty dumb, you know, to debut him on the pre-show. I thought it was a solid debut for him. He lost, which is never ideal. But what I did like, so I didn't like that so much, but what I did like is that they teased him possibly joining the Callis family. I like that. I think that could work, but here's my hope, if he does join. Because, you know, Mark Davis went down with a broken foot, and they've had some injury issues over time with this faction. Lance Archer is out right now because Brian Cage is out. Brian Cage had surgery. We're not going to see him for a little while. I hope that Alexander is at least portrayed as being on the same level as the other two. Even though he's new to the company, he is somebody that people are familiar with. He was a world champion somewhere else. He's a world-class professional wrestler. You know, he's not a fucking scrub. And so what I'd rather not see him be is just sort of playing backup or second fiddle, you know, to Fletcher and Takeshita. Hopefully they will be portrayed as all being equals and all being on the same level if, in fact, he does join the faction. But if that's the case, then I'm all for it. I think it's probably the best thing for him, honestly, to pair him off with somebody. Because at least then it guarantees that he will get airtime and FaceTime on TV. So if he does join the Callis family, I think it's great. I like that idea. Nick Wayne was in the back along with Kip Sabian and Mother Wayne. And he was talking about the patriarchy collapsing without a father figure. As he was speaking, though, Kip Sabian is sort of nudging him and going, hey, trying to get his attention. And he looks over to the side, and who do we see? But we see Christian Cage. And Christian walks up to him, and he brings up Nick, saying that Nick knew why Christian executed his contract when he cashed in his world title contract. So he would like to know why. Why do you think I did that? And Wayne said that he thinks he didn't stick to the plan because he couldn't stand the idea that Cope would win the AEW World Championship before him. Let us hope that never happens. Christian said that's an assumption and it makes an ass out of him. He said he's been impressed by the fire that Nick has shown recently and he has taken it upon himself to procure him a spot in New Japan in the best of the Super Juniors, or the Battle of the Super Juniors tournament, which is coming up next month. And also, he went out of his way to get him a match against Commander for the Ring of Honor television title on Thursday's Collision. Because tomorrow's Collision is also a Spring Breakthrough episode. So he'll be getting a title match on that show. He says he knows his son would never intentionally let him down. And he gives Nick like a little soft slap, and then he gives him a hard slap. And he walks off. Sabian follows. Mother Wayne follows. She left her son to stand there all by himself. And he is left standing there and smarting over the slap. He did not look very happy. They aired a video package. For Brie Mode. Hey, Justin G, thank you as well for the $25 super chat. I do appreciate it. Thank you, sir.
I'm just the sexy boy. I'm not your boy toy. I make them hot. I make them shiver. Their knees get weak whenever I'm around. They see me walk.
What a tune.
They hear me talk. I make them feel like they're on cloud nine.
What a tune. That was an $80 super chat. That was an $80 super chat from Bobbert Reviews, who for some reason wanted to hear me sing Sexy Boy. Somehow I haven't gotten a record deal. I don't know why. I'm still waiting for one. Hopefully it will come. That's what she said. But thank you. Thank you, Bobbert Reviews, man. You are the man. $80 super chat drop, man. That's very nice of you. What I was going to say is they aired a video package that was recapping FTR on Collision, explaining their actions, why they did what they did at Dynasty to Adam Copeland. And then in the same segment, they nearly laid out Tony Schiavone. They were setting up to give him a spike pile driver before Nigel McGuinness, who took his sweet time, by the way, finally stood up at the announce desk. He got in the ring and he was able to intervene and stop them from from doing it. We also saw FTR bloodying up Matt Menard and Angelo Parker until Daniel Garcia made the save, but he suffered a spike pile driver for his troubles. So they come back live to the desk, and Shivani informs us that FTR has been suspended and they have been fined 1 week's pay for their actions. And he assures us that that's a lot of money. He didn't say how much money. But if Tony Khan is just going to randomly throw $400,000 out there like he did last week for those eight guys to compete for, I'm sure it's a lot of money. By the way, no follow-up to that this week. Not that I'm surprised. It was a random match. It was a random stupid idea they came up with. But there was absolutely no follow-up this week on that. I'm still upset that they didn't have the Beast Mortos on the winning team and then have like weeks of vignettes showing him spending his money. If you're going to do stupid ideas like that, at least try to come up with ways to make them fun. They did nothing this week. So after this,
have the best moveset.
You know who has a pretty good moveset? The Hurt Syndicate. And the Hurt Syndicate was up next, defending the AEW Tag Team titles against the Gates of Agony, Bishop Khan and Toa Leona. I have to mention this. Before this match, they showed Kristaps Porzingis. Porzingis was there at Dynamite. He was sitting in the front row, and they put him on camera of the Boston Celtics. There he was. He got a big pop when they showed him on screen. You know what? What's good for one company is good for the other. When you have a big star in the audience, you better put his fucking face and his name up on that screen to let the world know. I didn't check, but they better blast that shit out on social media too. That's what they need to do. Sarah says they followed it up on Collision. Well, what about Dynamite? The match didn't happen on Collision. The match happened on Dynamite. I want to see the follow-up on Dynamite. That's not an excuse. That's not good enough. So anyway, Porzingis was there. Toa Leona rushes Lashley and Benjamin at the bell. Benjamin tried an early DDT, which Leona no-sold. Lashley tagged in, and Khan got clotheslined out to the floor. Benjamin drove him into the barricade. That drove us into the commercial break. Back from commercial, Leona dropped Benjamin with a huge Samoan drop and a running senton for a near fall, which Lashley broke up. Leona no-sold his head being driven into the turnbuckle, and he was able to unleash a series of lariats to Lashley, who dodged one. He sank in the Hurt Lock, which Khan broke up. Khan charged. He ran into a thrust kick, though, leading to Benjamin hitting a series of released German suplexes. And then he low-bridged Toa Leona, who landed on his feet. And Leona tried to shit-talk Benjamin, but he missed Lashley flying in with a spear. And back inside, Benjamin hit a corner step-up knee on the good Bishop, and Lashley finished him off with a spear to retain the titles. Gates of Agony, they got more offense in here than I would say pretty much any other, challengers or most other challengers. I mean, you know, Big Bill and Brian Keith, they had a semi-competitive match, but they got more offense in here than most have gotten against the Hurt Syndicate. And the problem is they've just been slotted at a certain level for so long. It's like you can't take them seriously. You can't take them seriously as challengers for the AEW Tag Team titles when they are not featured on Dynamite, which is still their A show, every single week. We don't see these. When was the last time we saw these guys on Dynamite on a consistent basis? It doesn't happen. They're in Ring of Honor. Maybe they're on Collision. They're not on Dynamite. No one is taking them seriously as challengers. I don't care, you know, how good they may be, how good they may look, and, you know, it doesn't matter. You know, it doesn't matter. It's going to take a lot of rehab for me to see them as anything but what they were here, which was basically, I mean, effectively what these guys were. They were a pork chop thrown into the lion's den to be devoured. And that's exactly what happened here in this match. Now, when the match was over, MJF's music hits. He makes his way out to the ring to a loud reaction. He says he does enjoy hearing how great he is, but give it up for the Hurt Syndicate because he's still sucking up to them. So he complimented MVP, and he complimented Shelton Benjamin for looking great. While some people, he says, are slow learners. So Lashley had to be restrained. MJF is like, I never said his name. I never said anybody's name. He just assumed that I was talking about him. MJF talked not just about his own talent, but the talent in the back. MVP cut him off and said, can you get to the point? MJF said, well, that's fine. Bring him on out. And out walked about half a dozen ladies to the ring. One of them even was toweling off Shelton Benjamin. He looked smitten. Then MJF said they can have a night with all of these lovely ladies, and all he asks for in return is a thumbs up from all three men. Because that's how this works. Majority rules. If at least two of the three give the thumbs up, then MJF is in the Hurt Syndicate. He's still trying to get into this group. Not sure why. Not really sure why he continues to waste his time. This is the longest reigning AEW world champion of all time. And he is just desperately, desperately trying to get into this faction. And it still really hasn't been completely communicated to us why this is so important to him, but he's still trying. So MJF kicks his feet up in the corner. MVP gives a thumbs up. Benjamin now. It's up to him. What's his decision? And he's obviously a little bit distracted. Eddie said that he might need a little more time. And Benjamin said that he's a fan of very nice things. And even he needs more time. And he's pointing to his wrist. Because on MJF's wrist, he was wearing a gold watch. MJF said he knew he liked Benjamin. And he said he'll give him his watch for a thumbs up. Benjamin was about to give the thumbs up. Lashley shoots him a death stare. Like, he is just glaring at this man. And so instead, Benjamin gives him a thumbs down. MJF is about to just pop off on all of them. And he switched. He calmed down. He said, no, it's all about democracy. I'm a big fan of democracy. He told Benjamin that he's grown to become a big fan of his. And so here's what he's going to do. He's going to still give Benjamin his watch. And he takes the gold watch off and he hands it to him. And he says, you know what? You can also have the ladies tonight. I felt like I was watching fucking Raw's War in 1999 here. I still remember when the Godfather came out with the hose and offered the Undertaker some hose so he can get out of wrestling him. Fucking Undertaker is standing there surrounded by all these women. MJF told Bob that he respects him for being the Almighty, but MJF is known for getting what he wants. Let me take a quick break here to let you guys know that today's episode is sponsored by Factor. If you want to eat healthier and eat good, I don't just mean eat clean, but really enjoy your food, you can make this your best season yet with nutritious two-minute meals from Factor, the meal delivery service that you have been waiting for. Eating well has never been this easy. Just heat up and enjoy, giving you more time to do what you want. Factor meals arrive fresh and ready to eat, making them perfect for any active lifestyle. So with the spring weather, and summer will be here soon enough, get outside instead of prepping and cooking indoors. With 45 weekly menu options, you can choose gourmet meals that fit your goals. Choose from Calorie Smart, Protein Plus, Keto, and more. Factor powers your day with satisfying breakfasts, on-the-go lunches, and premium dinners, not to mention guilt-free snacks and desserts, which is my favorite. I mean, who doesn't love dessert? It's easy to savor more this spring. Factor meals pack in the flavor without all the fuss. I got my new box earlier in the week. I like the Ropa Vieja chicken thigh bowl. If it has chicken, chances are I'm going to like it. But this was really good. There was a spicy sweet potatoes and peanut sauce meal with coconut rice and roasted green beans. That was also very good. But my favorite, this was my dinner on Thursday, was the sesame teriyaki filet mignon. Oh my, friggin' amazing. And again, they only take minutes to make. It's not going to take you an hour before you even sit down to take your first bite. And that's good for me because I'm streaming on most nights. As you know, there's wrestling damn near every night of the week at this point. So I don't want to spend forever eating dinner before I have to work. This takes care of that for me. And it can take care of it for you too. With an exclusive offer for Sound Off listeners. Get started at factormeals.com/solomonster50off. And use the code SOLOMONSTER50OFF to get 50% off plus free shipping on your first box. That's code SOLOMONSTER50OFF at factormeals.com/SOLOMONSTER50OFF for 50% off plus free shipping. So we know that all it takes to buy off Shelton Benjamin are some escorts and a gold watch. That's about it. Doesn't take much. Lashley is still unimpressed. We're not done yet, though, because in the back later, Lashley tells MVP, I don't trust this guy. I don't trust this guy. And MVP says, look, I understand he's annoying, but business-wise, we can use him to get what we want. Yes, more escorts and jewelry. So MVP assured him that, look, the minute he gets out of line, and Lashley finished the sentence for him, he goes, we heard him. And he said, you know what? We'll finish talking about this later. Can we get on with the night? Ladies, come on over. And they summon the ladies over, and they go walk off, and that's the last we see of them for the rest of the night. Where this is going, I don't know. I mean, there's been talk of maybe a Pinnacle reunion, as if the Pinnacle was some big fucking shit back in the day. I mean, let's be honest, it really ended up not being as big as people make it out to be, although it had potential. Could this be setting up a Pinnacle reunion? Not even necessarily with Wardlow, because Wardlow is dead. The character. I don't mean the person portraying Mike Wardlow, whatever the fuck his name is. I'm sure I hope he's doing well in his personal life. His career, though, not so much. His career in this company is done. Even if they bring him back, I think he's done. The best thing for his career is to leave and go somewhere else. I don't even know what he's doing these days. But as far as like MJF and FTR, FTR just went heel. So timeline-wise, we're heading into Texas at All In, probably heading into a Cope and Christian reunion where they take on FTR. They still have to kind of figure out how we're going to get there as far as Christian and Copeland getting back together. But if that's the direction, I could see that ending up being a tag team title match, provided that FTR wins the titles from the Hurt Syndicate. You could absolutely do FTR and the Hurt Syndicate at Double or Nothing for the tag team titles. And if Bobby Lashley is telling MVP, I don't trust this guy, then there's good reason not to trust him, because MJF is going to fuck him over in the end. MJF could be the reason that these two lose the tag team titles. MJF then goes on to do whatever the hell it is he's going to do with the Hurt Syndicate. Again, maybe him and FTR, they're back on the same page. I don't know. FTR goes on to defend the titles against Cope and Christian at All In Texas. Is that the direction? That's one idea. Beyond that, I don't know. We'll see how it plays out. It's just, John says Wardlow with a sad emoji. It's just, I don't know. I don't know. There was talk that he had a knee injury some time ago. That was a long time ago. I mean, unless he had like a full knee reconstruction, it just doesn't explain his run. It doesn't. You can't just describe it to an injury. Somewhere along the way, things went very, very wrong for someone who just felt like his trajectory was just upward. It really did. It felt like, okay, here's another homegrown AEW star. There have been a few of those. You look at the progress now that someone like Kyle Fletcher has made, right? He's been doing very well for himself. Yes, he lost his big cage match to Will Ospreay, but I look at Wardlow as like that guy who looked like he was on the ascent to much bigger and better things. Where did it all go wrong? I trace it all the way back to after he beat MJF. Powerbombed him 10 times, a Double or Nothing. We're going on 3 years now. That was the peak. That was it. That was the zenith of his career. It's been all downhill ever since. I feel bad for the guy. He's very athletic. Well-spoken guy. Absolutely could be a star. What his ceiling is, I don't know. I think he has the potential to be, a top talent. But whether he's top talent, second tier, wherever he ends up, he has that potential. It's just clear to me it's never going to be realized so long as he's working for AEW. So for his sake, I just hope he can, part ways and go on his way. And I'm sure somebody will snatch him up. Somebody will snatch him up, and I hope he finds success somewhere else, because it's clearly not happening in this company. Wardlow against Lashley, says FaZe. You know what? I would love to believe you, but I have no faith. I have no faith. Yeah, that yes, Marcus reminds me, Wardlow not wanting to challenge for the world title until Punk was cleared was the worst thing AEW could have done with him. That I don't know about the worst, but that was pretty bad. I had forgotten about that. Oh, man. It's awful. But you know what wasn't awful? This next match, which was Will Ospreay, one-on-one with Konosuke Takeshita. This was a semifinal match in the Owen Hart Foundation tournament. This was also a rematch from Revolution last year, which was Ospreay's first full-time official AEW match since signing a contract with the company. And I thought, you know what? These guys are going to go out there. They're going to have a banger match. I don't know about topping the Revolution match last year because that match was so great. I don't know, but they managed to do it. They found a way. They managed to go out there and they were in front of the right crowd at the right moment, just the right time. They went out there and they tore this place down here in the ring. Best match of the Owens so far. They got holy shit chance right at the bell. And they worked at a slower pace than you would expect, which was smart, but they worked at a slower pace here at the beginning of this match. Kind of the feeling out process. After a commercial break, Takeshita was in control until Ospreay fired off his handspring Pele kick. Takeshita got up a big boot and a clothesline to stall the momentum. Ospreay tried to ramp up a little bit here. Takeshita met him with multiple exploders. And then Takeshita took too long. He was on the ropes. He took too long. Ospreay cut him off. Takeshita, though, wanted an avalanche raging fire. Ospreay countered into a stun dog millionaire. Takeshita rolled to the ramp. Ospreay, though, says, like, I don't give a shit. And he hits an os cutter to Takeshita on the ramp, which was not very smart because it took more out of him than anything else. That did not look fun to take on that ramp. Takeshita broke the count back into the ring. Ospreay, though, flew in with a springboard dropkick and a leap of faith that landed flush. Ospreay signaled for an os cutter. Takeshita nearly countered into a blue thunder bomb, but Ospreay spun out, hit an os cutter, and then got another near fall. This was a wild sequence here. Ospreay wanted a stormbreaker. Takeshita rolled out, and they traded pin attempts back and forth until Takeshita hit a wheelbarrow into a bridging German suplex, only for two. Both men slowly rose to their feet. They had the forearm exchange back and forth. Takeshita won that before Bryce Remsburg had to pull him off of Ospreay in the corner. And that little delay allowed Ospreay to ramp up with kicks. One, though, got caught, and Takeshita nearly took his head off with a forearm shot. So the raging fire gets countered. Three Ospreay hook kicks connect. Takeshita, though, collapses before the hidden blade could connect. Takeshita, though, not done yet. Not done yet. That hesitation from Ospreay led to Takeshita hitting a blue thunderbomb for the closest near fall of the matchup to this point. Takeshita threw a clothesline so hard that it flipped Ospreay inside out onto his feet. He tried an os cutter, but Takeshita blasted him out of midair. This was a fucking great shot here. He blasts him out of midair with a forearm shot. He covers him. Ospreay kicks at it one. And the crowd is going nuts for this, right? So they're losing their minds. Ospreay quickly connects with a hidden blade. And he covers. And now Takeshita kicks out of one. So now these people are just jumping out of their skin. Both men collide with clothesline attempts. Ospreay collapses. Takeshita wants a stormbreaker. Ospreay, though, counters into a bastard driver and a wheelbarrow, German. But Takeshita pops up, he throws a hidden blade of his own, and we are pretty much back to square one here with these two. Both men broke the count back to their feet at nine. Takeshita hit a haluva kick and then headed up top. Ospreay, though, cut him off with a headbutt. Ospreay wanted a Spanish fly, but instead, Takeshita hit the avalanche. Takeshita line. Clothesline this man off the ropes, and fucking Ospreay lands on his feet. He's like a cat. He lands on his feet, and then he hits another hidden blade, only for Takeshita to kick out. See, this right here, we always get to a point in these matches with all of these kickouts and all of these near falls where it's like, it should have ended right there. That's how I felt about this. The match should have ended right there. I do think that it would have been even a little bit better if they would have shaved off 2 or 3 minutes and if the match would have ended there, but they kept going. And so Ospreay went for another one. Takeshita hit a boot. He wanted the Raging Fire. Ospreay countered into a Styles Clash, but again, Takeshita kicks out. Backslide into the Power Drive knee from Takeshita. He charges in, but Ospreay floats through into a Stormbreaker for the win to advance to the finals of the Owen Hart tournament. Will Ospreay will now meet the winner of Kyle Fletcher and Hangman Adam Page at Double or Nothing. And holy shit. Holy shit. What a fucking match this was. 20 minutes of insanity from two men who are not only two of the best in the world, and they are. They are. If you ask me, who do I think is the best pro wrestler in the world right now? It's almost hard for me to narrow it down to just one name. But Takeshita and Ospreay are on that short list. And Takeshita is everywhere. Not just AEW. He's in Mexico. He's in Japan. He's in AEW. He's going to be in House of Glory next Friday wrestling for the World Championship. He's everywhere, this guy. And he's fucking great. And it couldn't happen to a better guy. He's a super talent. Ospreay, I don't need to say anything about Ospreay. It's almost annoying how at the end of the year he ends up on so many lists of people's Match of the Year candidates because he knows how to go out there. He knows when he is performing in front of the crowd, wherever he is, he knows what those people are expecting out of him. He knows. He knows what those people want to see. He knows what kind of match they're looking for, and he goes out there and he gives it to them. Time in and time again. Doesn't matter who he's in the ring with. It could be Takeshita. It could be Fletcher. It could be Kenny Omega. It could be a new guy like Kevin Knight, who's brand new to the roster. It doesn't matter. He's phenomenal. So you put the two of them together in the ring, and you're going to get magic. We got that at Revolution. We got that again tonight. I thought tonight was even better than Revolution. Were there too many near falls? Yes. Yes. And like I just said, I would have ended it after that Hidden Blade, you know, two and a half minutes, whatever it was, before the finish actually came. But they made it work, and the crowd ate it up. And look, Takeshita lost, but after you have a match like this, there really are no losers coming out of this match. He's going to be just fine. You have a match like this after a battle for 20 minutes, and you get pinned. Nobody's talking about, oh, man, Takeshita, what a loser. You know, no one's talking about that. They're talking about what a great match they had, and it really was. And this tournament right now, it is Ospreay's to lose. I said that even before, you know, when we first had the brackets come out. It is Will Ospreay's tournament to lose, and I think he goes on to All in Texas to challenge for the championship. I think it's him and Hangman in the finals. I would not put money down on that. I do think there's the possibility because Kyle Fletcher doesn't really have anything else to do going into Double or Nothing if he doesn't go to the finals. I don't know what else they would do with him. And they have been trying to push him and get him reps on TV. Hangman, meanwhile, is involved in all this other stuff with Swerve and the Bucks and the Death Riders. And so if they're going to do an Anarchy in the Arena match, I could easily see him as part of Anarchy in the Arena. That would open up Kyle Fletcher to wrestle Will Ospreay, his former best friend, in the finals of the Owen. The only thing is, like, he just lost to him in the cage match. I just don't see what's gained by him going in there and losing again to Will Ospreay. But, again, is it going to kill him? It's not going to kill him. I wouldn't beat him twice in a row like that if I could avoid it. But the more I think about it, it probably would make more sense for Hangman to be involved with whatever those guys are doing, especially if he's not winning the tournament, if he's just going to go in there and lose. So I'm a little more iffy about what the final match looks like. Not so much who's going to go over in the end, though. I still feel pretty confident about Ospreay being that guy. And we still had, and I realize at this point, that we still had the Death Riders. We still had the Death Riders yet to come. And I said, boy, they better have something special planned here. If you're going to follow that, you're going to have the Death Riders come out and follow what we just had here. But that's what they did. And they close with Jon Moxley filling in for the injured Pack, tagging with Claudio and Wheeler Yuta to defend the AEW Trios titles against Samoa Joe and Katsuyori Shibata of The Ops. What a name. The Ops. talk about these trios titles for a second, if I can. There is a little inconsistency in how they got to this point because, and I mentioned this on the show this weekend, and I mentioned it again on TNT last night, which is that if you go back to last year, Jay White got hurt. This is when the Bang Bang Gang had the trios titles, and Jay White got hurt, and they were going to do the Freebird rule and have Juice Robinson fill in for him. Christopher Daniels was like, no, 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 no. We don't do that here in AEW. So you're going to have to vacate those titles, which is what they did. And yet Jon Moxley is able to stand in for Pac. So there is a lack of consistency here in the application of these rules. At the same time, I completely understand that Tony Khan was between a rock and a hard place on this. So even though it seems like, well, wait a minute, this doesn't make any sense. How come they had to forfeit the titles then, but they don't have to forfeit them now? You saw why. This is why. Because they had this big title change planned for the end of the show. Would have completely fucked everything up. These guys have been champions for how many days now? How many months? I've lost track. I don't even know how long the Death Riders have had these trios titles for. Months and months and months. And you want to build to a moment where they finally get beaten. And hopefully it's a big celebratory thing when they finally get beaten. And so you really don't want to have to strip them of the titles if you can avoid it. Plus, you also have the other issue, which is that if you strip them of these fucking trios titles, what are you going to do to decide new trios champions? You're going to have a tournament? We have two tournaments that are ongoing as we speak. You're going to have a third one? So they didn't have any choice but to allow Jon Moxley to stand in for Pac. Is it stupid? Yeah, it's stupid, but you know what? I would have done the same thing. I really don't think they had much of a choice here. So that's why Jon Moxley was allowed to take his place, I guess, as an interim, I think is how they build an interim trios champion. But they announced at the top of the show that Hook was attacked earlier in the day by the Death Riders, and he was taken to the hospital. And as with Jay White's recent broken hand, we didn't see it. They just told us at the beginning of the show. There was no footage of this. And that's what made me think, okay, what we saw with Hook last week in the ring with him throwing up and, you know, talk about whether or not, is he concussed? Is he not concussed? And AEW just, they don't talk about it. They don't announce that stuff. You just put two and two together and you can pretty much deduce that he came out of that match with something wrong. And however long he's going to be out for, they needed somebody in his place tonight. So we didn't just have a replacement on the heel side. We had a replacement on the babyface side, which was less problematic because they're not champions, so who cares? But instead of Hook, and Taz wasn't on the show either. They said Taz was at the hospital with him. So commentary tonight was just Excalibur and Tony Schiavone. They had a two-man booth tonight, except when Don Callis was there. But Joe and Shibata walked out on stage, and they stood there and were waiting and were waiting and were waiting to find out who their partner is going to be. And then we hear Powerhouse Hobbs music, and out comes Powerhouse Hobbs, which I think that as far as replacements go, I think that it's an upgrade. Certainly, if you're Samoa Joe and Shibata, who would you rather have as your partner in this situation, Hook or Powerhouse Hobbs? I know who I'm going with. So the Ops and Hobbs, they attacked right away. Yuta got steamrolled in the corner right out of the gate here by Hobbs. Hobbs tried to save Shibata from an attack outside when things came back from commercial, but he got clipped. He got chop blocked by Marina Shafir. Back inside, Shibata tried fighting his way out of the Death Rider's corner and eventually made the hot tag to Samoa Joe. He snapped Yuta down with a power slam. Moxley, though, quickly broke up the count, got a chair from underneath the ring. He went to go use the chair. Willow Nightingale comes running down the ramp and she grabs the chair away, flips Moxley off to a big pop. Moxley walked into a big boot by Joe as Yuta flew off the top with a shotgun dropkick. Shibata then laid out Yuta. Claudio hit a pop-up uppercut. Hobbs was in with a spinebuster. Moxley was back up with a dropkick, but Joe was there with a cutter, and both men were down. So this has devolved now into total chaos. The Young Bucks come sauntering out down the ramp. They grab a chair. They go down to the ringside. They grab a chair. And they're standing over by the barricade, and we see a man kind of hidden in a hoodie. And you can see that it's Swerve Strickland. The fans can't tell right away, but it's Swerve Strickland. And he rips the chair away from them. He hits a swerve stomp off the barricade to both Bucks, lays them out, then launches them into the crowd and out of, we don't know, they fight off somewhere. Back inside, Moxley runs into an STO by Joe, and they just, the match continued to break down at this point. Claudio and Shibata, they're brawling on the ramp. Shibata sinks in a rear naked choke to him. Joe set Moxley up with a muscle buster, but Yuta breaks it up. Yuta tried to dive onto Hobbs, who caught him and slammed him onto the announce desk, which did not break. The solid oak announce desk. Marina Shafir cracked Hobbs in the back with a chair. That was a mistake. She ends up getting pounced by, not by Hobbs, but by Willow. That would have been funny. By Willow Nightingale. Moxley wanted a Death Rider on Joe. He spun out into the Coquina Clutch. And he went out way too quickly. It was comical how quickly he put the hold on, and then the referee almost immediately called for the bell. They had to be running low on time. It was like, come on, get to the finish. Because this was way too quick. But the AEW World Champion goes out. I did not expect the unbeatable Jon Moxley to take the losing fall here, but so he did. I like I said, he had a perfectly good Wheeler Yuta out there, but it was obviously more impactful seeing Jon Moxley be the one to take the losing fall. Swerve Strickland and Prince Nana, they were shown in the crowd smiling. Joe and Shibata, they hug it out. They are the new Trios champions. They hand the third title over to Hobbs, who was not supposed to be their partner tonight, but as it turned out, that's just kind of the way it ended up being. And the announcers put over how the Bucks and the Death Riders finally got their comeuppance. Here comes Will Ospreay out to celebrate. Swerve, Willow, more of the locker room. From what I saw, we had Kevin Knight was out there. We had Speedball Mike Bailey out there. A.R. Fox, the Dork Order, we saw them out there. And they all spill out. They're popping the cork on some champagne as the Death Riders have been dethroned, at least for one night. So this is what I mean when I made the analogy. And again, some people are going to be, I can't believe you're comparing the two. Like, clean the shit out of your ears and just pay attention to what I'm saying here. I'm simply drawing a comparison to the angle that WCW did on Nitro on that summer episode in 97. And they followed the blueprint. I'm not saying they directly copied that one angle. Maybe they did, but they followed the same blueprint here. You know, where you, in that case, it was a singles match. This was a trios match for the trios belts. But it's the same basic concept where you have the champion or champions go down to the babyface. You know, maybe in surprising fashion that Moxley was the one to go down to the Coquina Clutch. Back then, it was Hogan who was the unbeatable WCW champion. Even though they were in the middle of this story, trying to tell the story about Sting trying to take the title from Hogan, they took the fucking title off of him to put it on Luger. But you had all the baby faces spill out here on Nitro, on this milestone episode of Nitro, to celebrate this big win with Luger and the NWO. Finally, somebody has taken down the top heel faction in this company. And of course, 5 or 6 days later, it was just completely undone. But that was the basic idea behind what they did here. You know, you at some point, you have to give the baby faces a win. You can't just wait until the very end and just do it in Texas, right? We all know it's building to somebody, Ospreay, whoever it is, beating Moxley in Texas. We know this. But Texas is in July. I don't give a fuck right now about July. We're in the middle of April. You got to give me something now. Because every week, it's the same thing. It's the same shit. And so things were set up, in this case, for the trios titles to change hands. And then we had the big celebratory moment at the end of the show where for at least one night, like the NWO on that night, all those many years ago, the Death Riders got a measure of what they had coming to them for some time. They got their comeuppance. And Joe was in the ring, and it's always good to see Joe celebrating with a belt, whatever title it may be. Everyone's got a big smile on their face in the ring, and they feel like they finally got one over on the Death Riders. They had Joe after the show. This did not air on TV. But Joe cut a promo in the ring when the show was over, saying that he's like Tom Brady and he doesn't lose in Massachusetts. And he noted that it's where he's won all of his major titles. And I didn't realize that, but it is true. It is true because he beat Kurt Angle to win the TNA World Heavyweight title in Lowell. And he beat Finn Balor, I believe it was Balor, in Lowell to win the NXT Championship. And tonight they were in Boston, but still Massachusetts. And here he wins the Trios titles, you know, in the main event on this show. So I guess it's a lucky place for him. I guess it's his, like his good luck charm. I do wonder if we're going to get Joe and Moxley, though, one-on-one. I feel like we have to. I mean, just because he's one third of the Trios champions, he put the AEW world champion out. That should be the title match for Double or Nothing. Because you're going to have Moxley defend the title on that show. What are you going to do? You're just going to put him in an Anarchy in the Arena match? If you want to have a title match on that show, who the hell are you going to put him in the ring with? Well, you just found out who. They set it up tonight. That person should be Samoa Joe. But on the whole, this episode from top to bottom, it was carried by the in-ring. I thought the Mercedes and the Athena match was very good. Not even the best of what I'm sure they could do. It was their first time in the ring. It felt like they were kind of getting used to each other because, again, there were a few rough moments there, but not enough to take away from the overall quality of the match. Ospreay and Takeshita had a pay-per-view caliber, just fucking awesome match. And even the main event, the way they structured that main event and what they built to there and that those closing moments of the match and all the chaos and everything and Willow coming out and this person coming out, Swerve was out there. It made for, you know, a nice moment for the live crowd, and it was a moment that was needed because the babyfaces needed to stand tall over the Death Riders. And so on this night, that's exactly what they did. This was the best Dynamite of the year so far. I wish they could all be like this, and I wish every crowd could be like this crowd. Unfortunately, that's not the case. But for this night, they get their props because on their 289th episode, as they surpass WCW Monday Nitro in total episodes, this one right here was the best one in a very long time. What do you think of Dynamite tonight from Boston? According to the Twitter poll, nearly 70% thumbs up. It's been a while since we've had a Dynamite score that high. 10% thumbs in the middle, 21% thumbs down. Let's begin with Honey Deep Fried Chicken, who actually has a WrestleMania prediction here to kick us off in the on the Dynamite review Super Chat portion. I have a WrestleMania 41 prediction. And by the way, if you have WrestleMania comments or prediction, you can send them on in. That's fine. I have a WrestleMania 41 prediction. He says, Bayley turns on Lyra during the match. See, I don't know about like just turning on her. I think there may be a miscommunication that maybe causes that post-match. But her just kind of turning on her in the middle of the match, that I don't think is going to happen. A miscommunication to cost them the match, though, absolutely, I could see that happening. Because I don't, there's a 0% chance they win that match. He also says, fuck it. Since both AEW and WWE don't care about online reactions, I'm predicting Jon Moxley will have another long title reign. In WWE, I'm predicting Bianca Belair making the Rhea fans cry at WrestleMania. The Real CS, the 499, says it is sad and pathetic to see the Styles Clash used as a regular move. Remember when it ended matches? Yeah, me neither. Well, I mean, look, it's gone the way of so many other moves before it. It sucks, I agree. But once the genie is out of the bottle, you can't get it back in, unfortunately. Oz and Gloria says, Blue Sky, one of the best Dynamites ever. The Twitter poll, 32% thumbs up. Not tonight. I don't know what you're looking at. We had a 70% score. So you're looking at the wrong polls, my friend. Jerome Eugenio, Monet versus Athena killed it. They had a great match. I look forward to the next one. Says all-timer Dynamite tonight. The suffering in the Death Riders Trios division run was worth it to see my boy Shibata main event 289 and finally win gold. No, I wouldn't say decimating the Trios division was worth it for months on end. I was more interested in seeing Joe and Hobbs with gold again, honestly. Yeah, I'm happy for Shibata, but Joe is too good not to be involved in something big. So I'm happy that he is at least involved in this now, because he really needs to be. Food Hive. Where have you been? Where has he been? We've missed Food Hive. Hold on, let me scroll back here. What's going on, Food Hive? He says, oh, how I've missed my chat. What a return with one of the best episodes of Dynamite I can remember. Shout out to Nick Khan and the Underdogs. Yeah, how about that comment? You talk about delusional. Hey, Chris, thank you. What I was going to say is I find it kind of strange. There have been a number of AEW-related comments made by WWE people this week. I saw Seth Rollins made some kind of comment talking about CM Punk building up the match at WrestleMania, talking about him taking money from a billionaire's son, and Nick Khan making the comments that he made. This is WrestleMania week. Oddly, they seem obsessed with AEW for some reason. They need to focus on WrestleMania. That's really the most important thing here, and not spend their time doing all these interviews this week talking about Tony Khan and his dad. Seems a little strange to me. We got the Yatagaratsu. Caught this show after Dark Side of the Ring called The Grudge. Not into baseball, but I saw this heat between Roger Clemens and Mike Piazza and wanted your take as a Mets fan. It had me intrigued. I mean, Clemens was an asshole. I remember that whole thing with throwing the bat and everything. Yeah, he's just a fucking dick. I'm on Team Piazza. Joey Jojo Jr., that was great. Segment actually meant something and progressed the stories. Also, AEW usually struggles to pivot, but they didn't. They did well to sub in Hobbs. Yeah, I mean, he was as good of a choice as you could ask for. Food Hive says, what was for dinner? I made loaded street tacos. Oh, that sounds like that would have been a nightmare for me. I did not have loaded tacos. I had chicken. He also says, who's going to All In Texas? I want to meet y'all in person. Might have a get together with food that I cook. It's barely 20 minutes away. Well, there you go. Let Food Hive know. I don't know what my plans are yet. I may be in Texas that weekend. We'll see. But you're going to be in Texas. Let Food Hive know. I know we got a lot of Sound Off fans in Texas. I had a big meetup in Texas for WrestleMania many, many years ago. Did my one and only live show, actually. Live Sound Off in Texas, in Dallas, at Frankie's. It was good times. Joseph Stewart. Did you see the Hot Ones episode on YouTube with Dominic Mysterio and Liv Morgan? I did. They have great chemistry together. They really do. If they had their own television show, I might actually watch. Not only did I see Dominic and Liv on Hot Ones, I watched Rhea Ripley on Cold as Balls with Kevin Hart, where she stripped down and sat in the tub filled with ice and did an interview with him. So you could check that out too. David Thiering with the $30. Mentos Super Chat. After a show like tonight, does Solid Monster dare roll the dice and do a collision review tomorrow? No, he doesn't. No, he doesn't. It's my one night off. I don't want to watch any wrestling. It says AEW needs to not get complacent. Build a winning streak, and for all of our sanity, I hope they do. Maybe they could run the MGM Music Hall in Boston at Fenway in Boston every week. Joseph Stewart, do you think Dominic Mysterio and Liv Morgan will do a movie together in the future? What kind of movie? Tony Baloney McCall with a $10 super chat. Ideal observation slash nitpicking, he says. Why was Claudio able to stay in the match through a commercial break when commentary said blatantly there wasn't a tag? Because the AEW referees are not always the brightest bunch. And sometimes they make them look like imbeciles. Could be as simple as that. I don't know. I don't know what to tell you. I wasn't officiating the match. You're asking the wrong person. Mr. Rod, very good episode tonight. Some great wrestling. Overall, I am here for it. Today's episode is sponsored by BetterHelp. If you've never tried therapy before, it can feel like a big investment, especially with the state of things this week in the markets. All the volatility and the uncertainty out there, it's enough to cause you stress all on its own. But health is wealth, and it's important to take care of your mental health as well as your physical health. Traditional in-person therapy can cost anywhere from $100 to $250 per session, and that can be real costly really quick. But with BetterHelp Online Therapy, you can save on average up to 50% per session. That's huge, especially when people now more than ever may be looking to save wherever they can. With BetterHelp, you pay a flat fee for weekly sessions, saving you big on cost and time. Therapy should feel accessible, not like a luxury that only VIPs can afford. With online therapy, you get quality care at a price that makes sense. Your mental health is worth it, trust me. And now it's within reach. Like I said, there's a lot going on in the world right now that may be causing you stress and giving you anxiety. Maybe it's something at work. Maybe it's something in your personal life. Whatever it is, therapy can help you figure out what the problem is and get to the root of it so that you can start addressing it. How to recognize it, how to cope with it, work around it, or even maybe eliminate it entirely. With over 30,000 therapists, BetterHelp is the world's largest online therapy platform, having served over 5 million people globally. And it's convenient too. That's what makes it so appealing, especially if you've been on the fence about trying it. You think those 5 million people don't have busy lives like you do? They find a way to make it work, and you can too, because BetterHelp makes it easy for you with the click of a button. Plus, you can switch therapists at any time if you choose to do so. The choice is yours. Your well-being is worth it. Visit BetterHelp.com/Solomonster today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/Solomonster. Eminem with the 25 says, wow, Dynamite had a better show than the Go Home Raw this week. Yeah, oh yeah. You can't even compare the two. Dynamite blew Raw out of the fucking water this week. But then again, on Raw, I mean, it's like, what is there left to do? I'm at the point now where it's like, let's get to WrestleMania. Like, even SmackDown on Friday. Like, can we just get to WrestleMania already? I'm ready to get this WrestleMania over with, honestly. Like, can we just get there? Like, they've done everything that they can do. We'll be blessed with one more John Cena appearance, at least on TV on Friday. We'll see what they do there, but now, when you have the go-home show and you've done everything you could possibly do, it's like, I wasn't expecting much out of that show. It says, maybe the WrestleMania multiverse will get destroyed by Thanos Khan. LOL. With the rumor that Mariah May wants out of AEW, could we see her at a two-night SummerSlam? No. Even if she wants out of AEW, supposedly her contract runs at least until November, so you're not getting Mariah May anytime soon. Mr. Rod, I honestly didn't realize it until a few days ago, but WrestleMania Night 2, Easter, and 420 are all on the same day. I can't remember the last time that happened. That's like Halley's Comet. Happens like once every 60 years or something. A 420 Easter while watching WrestleMania. Interesting. Adam says, hey, Solomonster, I know Dynamite surpasses Nitro tonight, but can you remind the people WCW Saturday night is not prime time? It is 6:05. Nitro was 8 p.m. I mean, you're preaching to the choir. I've already explained it. People, it goes in one ear and out the other with some people. Because I still see people on social media. What are they talking about? Because the whole milestone is that they are now the longest running wrestling show, primetime wrestling show in the history of the Turner networks. And people don't understand. They're like, well, WCW Saturday Night was running longer. They're lying. They're lying. Except they're forgetting the words prime time. Doesn't everybody know that Saturday Night was a 6:05 thing? Do they not understand what prime time means? Let's find out. 6:05 is not considered prime time in this case. Don't make excuses. Some people just don't learn. Mr. Rod with the $20 super chat. I'm going to ask you the same thing that I was asked the other day, but what match or matches will be your match of the weekend? Well, I'll tell you when they happen. But if you ask me now, I think that the women's triple threat match is probably one of them. And if I had to pick one, well, that one's on night two, right? So I wish I had the night one lineup in front of me. What do we got on night one? Triple threat, Gunther. I'm going to go the women's triple threat with Rhea, Bianca, and Io. Justin G with the 25. I can't do this all the time, but the Balzacs want to know, what would Nikki mode be like? Nikki mode would be very boring compared to Brie mode. Brie mode is just something, it's like feeding gremlins after midnight. Like, just bad things happen, but it would be more interesting than Nikki mode. I don't know what Nikki mode would look like. Brie mode is just bad news, though. Bobbert reviews with that $80 drop. I think he really just wanted to hear me sing. That's what I think. Thank you, Bobbert. I hope you're doing well. Duff's Vids, why is it terrible eating in an alien's spacecraft? No atmosphere. I think I might be missing the punchline to that one. Not one of your better ones. What am I missing here? Hey, Markel. It's good to hear from Markel. 44 months of channel membership, says, hope all is well. I'm here live for once. I love the show, CEO. Yeah, Markel doesn't get to hang out live too often, so it's good to see you with us. Duff's Vids, a guy assaulted me with milk. How dare he? You deserve this one. This one you deserve.
You suck.
That was well deserved right there. Also, when you're sitting down, you're American. When you're laying down, you're American. When you're standing up, when you're standing on your feet, Europe. Also, very bad. When you're standing on your feet, you're up. Okay, yeah, man, they're getting worse. They're supposed to be improving. They're not supposed to be getting worse. What's going on here? The Average Grunt. What an all-timer episode of the longest-running wrestling show on Turner Broadcasting. Oh, no, you fucked it up. Prime time. Prime time. It says, this is the wrestling I love. AEW. Average Grunt is very happy. He's very excited about Dynamite tonight. Eminem. One for the money, two for the show, and a double Be the Booker to go, go, go. You know what? I haven't even checked what the likes total is at here. Oh, yeah. We blasted the goal, so that's good. Justin G., with the $22 super chat, what direction should AW go off and fuck? I thought Swerve, maybe Bobby. Oh, yeah, Bobby. Forgot about that. Come on, Bobby. Perhaps MJF, Ricochet, Ospreay. Really anything but Moxley. Also, second, be the booker. I think it's going to be Ospreay. I mean, that's what I would do. That's what I would do. Food Hive, solo singing Sexy Boy. What the fuck have I been missing? You've been missing a lot. Yes, you've been missing a lot. See, this is why you can't leave. Rapid Dave. She Kristaps on my portal Izingus. Very. Jeez. My God. Rapid Dave. Rapidly came up with that awful super chat. But I do appreciate it. She Kristaps on my portal Izingus. Duff's Vids with a $4.99. I rewatched WrestleMania 8 and was wondering if you know if Ric Flair and Bret Hart got in trouble or fined for bleeding in their matches, and if so, what happened? Bret Hart did not get in trouble. Ric Flair did get in trouble. And the reason why is because Bret Hart is just fucking great at what he does, and he was able to convince them that it was hardway blood, even though he admits he bladed. And blading back then was a no-no. But he was able to do it in such a way where he convinced them that it really was just, it was hard way. It was an accident. Flair used to bleed in all of his matches. And he had the white hair, and his white hair would go red. So him bleeding in the match, it was pretty obvious that, you know, he bladed himself. And he got in trouble for it. Even though he had that great match with Savage, you know, when he got to the back, he said, I forgot the exact comment, but Vince made a comment to him, something to the effect of, I wish it was like, you'll never learn, or I forgot exactly what it was, but he really was not happy. But Brett was like, hey, yeah, no, hey, it was an accident. They're like, okay. Arabian Night, could the MJF story be a swerve to reunite Dynasty? So bringing in Richard Holiday and Hammerstone. Yeah, Dynasty was a faction in MLW that MJF was a part of with these guys. I think Hammerstone's a free agent right now, Alex Hammerstone. It's possible. You know what? It is. I hadn't even thought about that, but instead of Pinnacle, they reunite Dynasty, but in AEW? Yeah. I could see that. Jake Jones with a $49.99. Brother Solo, didn't get to watch tonight, but I enjoy your awesome reviews as always. Found out earlier today that I'm going to be a father. Great review and take care, bro. Well, how about that? We have to... Oh, no. I hit the wrong button. No, ignore that. Ignore that. Congratulations. Yes, congratulations to Jake Jones. Ignore that first one. My God. That's awesome. That is awesome. We all are going to celebrate tonight because Jake Jones is going to be... Now, do not boo this man. Do not boo this man. We cheer for this man. That's what we do. Solo hates children. Come on now. The average grunt. By the way, as I type this, positive feedback of the show is being marked as hateful conduct on the hell site known as X. Fucking wow. Is that true? Are they marking? Yeah, I mean, well, X is just fucking poison, but are they marking positive feedback for Dynamite as hateful conduct? Have the Fed stands really gone to the bottom of the barrel? Are they that desperate? Is that what's going on now? I'm sure that's not true. Dev to Dust, Jalen Brunson, Dante DiVincenzo, OG, Julius Randle, Isaiah Hartenstein, Josh Hart. I have no idea what you're asking or what you're saying. I know Jalen Brunson. I'll get behind Jalen Brunson. Don't really care for the others. David Thiering with 11 months of channel membership. Only a couple of weeks until I get my red skull. I can't wait. Looking forward to being with all of you after WrestleMania on YouTube this weekend. Well, I'm looking forward to having you, so we're going to have a good time this weekend. And I don't want to be up into the wee hours by myself. So hopefully you will be here with me. Number one, Homo Sapiens says, Hammerstone is back in MLW. Yeah, that's right. He is back in MLW. He is back in MLW, so that's probably not possible. I did see that. Oh, it's the Knicks starting. Are they all on the Knicks? Oh, okay. All right. You can see I'm such a huge basketball fan. I thought he was just naming random basketball players. Honestly, Dante DiVincenzo is actually a pretty cool name. I wish that was my name. I don't know, though. Dante sounds off, though. That doesn't flow as well as Solomonster sounds off. Dante DiVincenzo. Oh, it was the lineup. Oh, that's right. Blitz fan. You're a big Knicks fan, right? I'll defer to you. It's their lineup from last year. Okay. Oz and Glorious says, yes or no. Is Mariah May leaving? Hit that like button. Right now, no. Do I think she's leaving when her contract is up? Yes. You forced me to take a guess. I'm going to say yes. Eminem says, hope everyone got their taxes done yesterday. Says, Winker would have been proud. Rest in peace, Wink Martindale, one of the best MCs of the 70s and 80s. Yes, and a fantastic name. What was he, 91, I think? Just passed away. Wink Martindale. He said, I mean, if that isn't the best, like, game show host name, forget MC, like, the best game show host name ever. I don't know what is. Wink Martindale. I'm surprised that sounds like a gimmick they give you in NXT. You're getting a new name. What's your new name? Wink Martindale. Justin G gifted a membership to the Winston Slip. And David Thiering, thank you for the 5 gifted memberships. Kiddo Hudson, for all the shade that Tony Khan throws at WCW, he loves to borrow ideas from that company. I noticed it right away, the similarities between the Luger thing and what they did at the end of the show tonight. Matt Fisher, hey Howard, pizza pizza. That was the best part. That was the best part of the WrestleMania 9 documentary. Go listen to my review. I mean, it's long, but it's thorough. We get into a lot of the different things that were talked about, but the sight of Howard Finkel dressed up in a toga, looking like the little mascot guy from the pizza commercial, Little Caesars, and somebody shouting at him from a distance, hey Howard, pizza pizza. Laugh my ass off. The Juliet, Nick Khan's we don't sign and bench people is rich, given that Alexa is currently benched. Well, you know, we just heard from number one, Homo Sapien. Not that I'm sitting here begging for Omos to be back on TV every week, but Omos had a good thing going there. He was one half of the GHC Tag Team Champions and had to be rushed back to WWE to the point where they had to just strip him of the title. And we haven't seen him a single time. Was it really that important that he leave Japan? I haven't heard that he wanted to leave. He was in the middle of a tag team title run, but they had to have him back to do what exactly? It is very rich. There were some comments that Nick Khan made today that were quite hypocritical. And if I have time, I will get into what he said on the podcast this weekend. Chris Manson with the $30 super chat says, this episode was Mentos fresh. Also want to get your thoughts on AEW Grand Slam Mexico. Hopefully we get Thunder Rosa versus Mercedes Moné. I think it's cool that they're going to be running Arena Mexico. They're the first U.S.-based promotion to run Arena Mexico, which is a legendary venue down in Mexico. And they're doing a Grand Slam there. I want to say, what is it, June 18th? If that's a Wednesday, then that's the date, June 18th. I think it's cool. If they're going to fill the show with CMLL guys that, you know, I don't know, then, I mean, I'm not going to really care all that much. But I think in terms of the venue, I think it's a cool place to run a wrestling show. Ed Swoggle. Finals to the Owens are 40 days away. One of the semis happening tonight. Doesn't it seem like lots of time between the end of the semis and the finals? Yes. I didn't think they were doing the Owen this quickly. It is a little surprising. I mean, I understand that All In is a month earlier this year, but I figured they would start the tournament in May. They opted to go in a different direction with it. It's a little surprising to me. EJ Slemp, can you think of any time where a wrestler had the yips, which are a sudden and unexplained loss of ability to execute certain skills in athletes? I can't. If they did, they probably did a pretty good job of masking it where I didn't notice. I can't think of any. Unless you're thinking of Jumpin' Jeff Farmer and his legendary promo where he went, yip. I remember that. I remember Jumpin' Jeff Farmer, but that's about it. Alex says, Brother Solo, do you agree with WWE picking Undertaker against Shawn Michaels WrestleMania 25 as the greatest WrestleMania match ever? Is there anything in this match you liked better than Austin versus Bret? I love both matches. I have no issue with it whatsoever. And that's another thing. If I have time on Sunday, I have the list. I'm not going to go through all 50 matches, but I'll talk about the list. But I have no issue with that. You can't go wrong with either of those matches. I happen to think Austin versus Bret is the best match in company history. But for the longest time, I thought, you know, and I said Undertaker and Shawn Michaels was my favorite WrestleMania match. But when I compare the two, I just give the edge to Bret and Austin, especially based on the significance of the match. But they're both awesome matches. So I have no issue whatsoever with them ranking it at number one. I think it's a fine pick. Base Beerus, when I grow up, I want to be an interim trios champion. I think you can aim a little higher. Alex says, let's thank Solo for choosing to watch the 3-hour pre-show each night and analyzing the same promo videos that they're going to show. I mean, seriously, WTF. Someone said Solo was watching the 3-hour pre-shows on each night? Who are you talking about? Solo Sikoa, maybe? Base Beerus, are you ready for Super Chat Mania this weekend? Oh, I'm ready. Cracking my knuckles right here. I am ready. Are you ready? That's the question. You better get them ready. Matt Fisher had a first date last night. The women's bathroom was out of order. My date ended up fixing the plumbing with her bare hands. Don't ask me how. This is not a joke. That means that she's handy. You need to hold on to her. She could be very useful. You know how hard it could be to find a plumber these days? Base Beer is Bret versus Owen or Bret versus Austin? Well, I mean, considering I just said Bret versus Austin is the greatest match in company history, I think I just answered your question. Matt Fisher, hi, Sean. I know you're here. Yeah, Sean. Joey Jojo Jr. Seth Rollins comes across as the biggest Fed stan of them all. Well, they sign his paychecks, that's why. Stephen Chappa says, 2 minus 2 months till 50 months of the best channel. Yes, he's 48 months a channel member. I miss dropping Bully the Clown chat. Coming soon. Steven, man, you're 2 months away from the big 5-0. You are one of the OGs here on this channel. Thank you, brother. Good questions from you guys. We are currently at 486 likes. We also hit our second goal, which means that we get two rounds of Be the Booker tonight. We might be getting a lot of Be the Booker this weekend. That's going to be up to you guys. We may be having multiple cards booked this weekend, but we got two of them coming up tonight, which is awesome. So let's get to it, shall we? It's Be the Booker time.
Ladies and gentlemen, it is now time to Be the Booker.
Here they are, the ops. Poor Hook. This was his moment to become champion, and it was taken away from him. But the ops, the new trios champions in All Elite Wrestling. You know what? I may have to put them in Be the Booker. I don't have the ops in Be the Booker. I just realized. We got Booker T and Goldust, who were a very entertaining team, actually. They're kicking us off in Be the Booker. Booker T and Goldust. Getting it on with Stone Cold Steve Austin and Shawn Michaels, who were tag team champions. Stone Cold and Shawn Michaels against Booker T and Goldust? Sign me up. I like that Homer Simpson shirt that Shawn is wearing here in this photo. Yeah, that's a bell. That's right. That is a bell. Women's Be the Booker. We begin with Bayley. Bayley, the former WWE Women's Champion. Actually, you know what? This image, I think, was the night that she turned heel and beat Charlotte Flair. You know who will not beat Charlotte Flair this weekend? Tiffany Stratton. Bayley going to go one-on-one with Jade Cargill, who I also happen to think will not be beating Naomi this weekend. Main event time. Oh. Oh my God. It's a good thing I didn't just eat dinner. What is this? What is going on in this image? It's a cursed image. You know, Jericho left last week and I'm like, this is great. We're going to no Jericho for the next probably month or so. And there he is. There he appears on my screen, the painmaker. I don't know what is going on in this image, but my goodness. Chris says, redo, he is off TV. All right, we are gonna pretend that didn't happen. Because he is not supposed to be here. He's supposed to be away. Pete Dunne. Pete Dunne against Yokozuna. How very appropriate that we land on this image of Yokozuna moments before catastrophe. This was the 2 minutes that he was the WWF champion on the night of WrestleMania 9. As his manager issued a challenge to the challenger to get in the ring and wrestle the champion. Pete Dunne, enjoy your bonsai drop. Because that's how that match is ending. Oh, wait, did we just do a clean sweep? I think we did. I almost forgot. I almost moved on, and I almost didn't even play the chime. We got a clean sweep. We're going to pretend the Jericho thing never happened. But we are going to move on to round two now, because you guys hit the other goal. And so we have a second round now. of Be the Booker, where we have to go stipulations. Those are the rules. Get a round two, we pick stips. And so I think what we'll do is we'll start with the women this time. How about that? Pick a stipulation for the women. And the stipulation is on a pole, bro. Vince Russo has struck again. Right off the bat. So we're going, look at that. Look at Baby Russo. Baby Russo on a pole. So we have on a pole. I don't know what's going to be on a pole. But the stipulation for this women's match is on a pole. There are some women who make a very good living on a pole. I don't know that that's what we're talking about here. Willow Nightingale. She's not on any pole. Willow Nightingale is awesome. And it will be Willow Nightingale. One-on-one, Mommy is mad. Pick a stipulation to make her happy. She looks very angry in this photo. But that means that on a pole, bro, is gone. And we have to pick a new stipulation. Good. I don't like that stipulation anyway. So now it's wiped clean. We have been saved from Russo. And the new stipulation is an Inferno match. Which technically is a Russo idea. Willow, not poor Willow, man. Willow Nightingale now has to be in an Inferno match. Willow Nightingale in an Inferno match against Lash Legend. Nah. Eh. We could do better. All right, tag team match. Well, we're not going to get a second clean sweep, but that doesn't mean we can't end on a strong note. Tag team match is going to be a tag team TLC match. But Bliss fan, that's exactly what I'm thinking. That match is going to go wrong. Somebody is going to get burnt to a crisp. It's going to be really bad. All right, tag team TLC match. But the tag team titles. What is with these two fucking guys? How do we keep landing on Braun Strowman and Nicholas? Didn't we just land on them last week? You're going to put a 9-year-old kid in a TLC match? Apparently that's what we're doing. We're putting a 9-year-old in a TLC match. Randy Orton forces Adam Pearce to add a stipulation to your match. Man, what is in the water tonight? All right, well, TLC is wiped clean. That's it. The 9-year-old is spared. We have to pick a new stipulation now for this match. Before Randy Orton beats up Adam Pearce the way he beat up Nick Aldis. And he punted Vince McMahon in the head too. Boy, Nick, Randy Orton does not like authority figures. He has a problem with authority. All right, new stipulation. Three stages of hell. That's like each hour of SmackDown. All right, well, Braun Strowman and Nicholas now are going to be in a three stages of hell match against the Guns, Austin and Colton. Boy, this is going south real fast. I think we may have peaked. I fear that we may have peaked, guys. We got one match left. And the stipulation for our main event is a dog collar match. A dog collar match. You got to have the right people in a match like this, though. That's the key. We have the Honky Tonk Man. We got the Honky Tonk Man in the main event in a dog collar match. against Bad Bunny. What did I just book? The Honky Tonk Man and Bad Bunny in a dog collar match? What the hell did I just book? Well, you know what? We had two sweeps tonight. One went one way and the other one went a completely different way. So we kind of balanced the two of them out in a way. Well, that was certainly something. I need time to process what just happened here. Yep. We got both Sonics tonight. The first ever bunny collar match. You ever see people walking their bunny down the street with a collar around its neck? I don't. Not in New York anyway. Although I did see a chicken the other day in the street. I turned, and there it was. There was a fucking chicken crossing the street. It's like, okay, I know what I'm having for dinner tonight. We have, number one, Homo sapien. What did one hat say to the other? You stay here, I'll go on ahead. You know, I blame Duff's Vids and Sidro for this because they think everybody now can be an amateur comedian. Base Beerus, you need a Ray Phoenix mask. You and JD, TNT in masks. 4 hours in a mask? Yeah, I don't think so. Even the wrestlers, when they go out to the ring, they're wrestling for, what, 15 minutes? And then they probably take their mask off? Like, no. We're not doing that. Oz and Glorious. Osprey versus Takeshita 1 and 2 is better than Austin versus Brett. Well, I mean, now you've just turned into a troll account, so I can't take that seriously. Near says, hello, Solo. Near is never too far. I like that. It's like that Celine Dion song. Near, far, wherever you are. Oh, fucking Titanic. Creflo. This year's Mania is the first time without featuring a Canadian wrestler in a match, including pre-shows. Without pre-shows, it's the second time since 31. I did not realize that. Yeah, once Kevin Owens got bounced and Sami Zayn's not on the show, I thought Trish might stick around and have a match at Mania, but she didn't. Chelsea Green is not on the card as of this moment, so yeah. I can't think of a Canadian wrestler on the show. I know Steve's in the chat. Steve Mello, get your tights ready. We're going to put you on the WrestleMania card so we can get a Canadian on the show. Oz and Glorious, as a fellow 1982 kid, thank you for using Sonic's music. Sonic the Hedgehog is the shit, man. Sonic is one of my all-time favorite games. Creflo says the build-up to Subway Mania has been better than WrestleMania this year. Oh, I don't doubt it. You're probably right. And Base Beerus says Junior Soprano watching Curb Your Enthusiasm is LOL. Is there a video of Dominic Chianese watching Curb Your Enthusiasm that I haven't seen? Base Beerus says you should do Sopranos review someday. I would watch. I'm probably due for a rewatch, honestly. Every few years, I try to do a rewatch of the entire series. The problem is there's so many shows now, like current shows with new seasons coming out, that I have to catch up on those first. So there's so many I'm backlogged on right now. But I'll get to that at some point. I rewatched The Shield a few years ago, all over again, all seven seasons. So I'm sure I'll get to The Sopranos again. Dennis Rodman's meet and greet is $350 while Tyson's is only around $100. Oh, is that at WrestleCon? Battlestar Galactica? Yeah, that's not happening. Power Spine Games. Is Kelly Bundy the dumbest sitcom character ever? No, I mean, I'm sure there have been dumber ones. What was Kirk Cameron's character, his best friend on Growing Pains, Boner? Wasn't Boner supposed to be a little dumb? I mean, if your name is Boner, I guess it kind of makes sense. That was his name, though, Boner. I'm sure there have been dumber characters. Kelly Bundy, though, was pretty dumb. Especially when she called the FBI agents, you Fabi guys. Hey, you Fabi guys. I don't know why I still remember that. Oh, man. All right, this has been fun. We had fun tonight, and we actually had a very fun episode of Dynamite, which is awesome. Long may it continue, although I don't know that I have faith in that, but the next time I'm live with you is going to be Friday night. They're going to be in Las Vegas for SmackDown. We got John Cena back on the show. We'll have John Cena. We'll have Cody Rhodes. We'll see, you know, Cody laying him out with a crossroads. Maybe he'll get laid out with an attitude adjustment. I don't know. But we got one show left before we get to WrestleMania this weekend. And I will be live after both nights of WrestleMania. So it's going to be a late night on Saturday, late night on Sunday. On Sunday during the day, later in the afternoon, there will be a podcast, episode 910. And so that'll be something to keep your eye out for. And then, of course, we got next Monday, and we got TNT, and we got Dynamite. It never ends. It never ends. There's a lot of content on the channel. I hope you guys are enjoying it. All right, be well. Stay safe. Hit that like button on your way out. Go check out that WrestleMania 9 documentary review and leave some comments on that. And I will see you this weekend for SmackDown and WrestleMania weekend. Until then, take care, guys.